Why don't we close our eyes or cover them with our hands? Maybe the adults can do it too. You know, everyone can participate. All right, we're gonna imagine. All right, let's imagine a place far, far away, a magical land by the ocean. Can everyone see this? We're by the ocean. There's waves and sand. And this magical land is filled with ponies. All right, we're at a magical land by the ocean that's filled with ponies. And these ponies romp around all day long doing whatever it is they want. And nobody tells them what to do. Now, open your eyes. Did everyone see that magical land? What if I told you that such a place exists in a land far, far away called Virginia? I'm serious. I have been there. I've seen these ponies. There's hundreds of them. Do any of you like ponies? You like ponies? Do you have a pony? Do you want a pony someday? Oh, let me tell you. Well, the closest we're going to get for a while are these postcards that I brought back from this mystical land called Chincoteague Island, Virginia, okay? Now, there's many ponies down there, hundreds of them, all right? And they're running wild, all right? And they all have names, all right? People have these big books with pictures of each pony, and it tells you their name and how old they are. I can't remember any of them. Somehow these people managed to remember these ponies' names. So let's play a game. Now I'm going to hold up these pictures, and we're going to come up with names for each of these ponies, okay? All right, we got this first pony. What do you think we should name this pony? Yes. Chris. So we got Chris the pony here. All right, this next light-colored pony, what should we name him? Yes.
Whitetail.
Okay, Whitetail the pony. Chris and Whitetail. Next one. What do you think we should name? Brownie. So we got Brownie, Chris, Whitetail. Now this grass-eating pony. What's we're going to name him? Maybe you. Butchie. Okay. Butchie the pony. Now, there's a lot of ponies in this picture, but we'll just name the one in the front. Oh, come on. Someone else. Someone that's a little shyer. What should we name this pony? Come on. I think you want to name the pony. Pick a name for it. You want to call it? What should we call it?
Ellie.
Ellie, okay. So we got Chris, Brownie. I forgot already. What is this?
Whitetail.
Butchie. Now, do you see the problem here already? We only have five ponies. I can't remember their names. There's hundreds of them. Do you think that maybe God knows each of these ponies?
Yeah.
Why do you think he knows each of these ponies? Yes. That's right, because he created them. So a couple hundred ponies really isn't a big deal for him to remember each one, is it? What about people? How many people do you think are on the planet? Yeah, throw a number out. More than a million, yes. Most definitely. Maybe a bigger number. I don't know about that. Big number, come on. Hundred people. How about a couple of billion with a B? Maybe 6 billion? What do you think? I don't think we're to 60 billion yet, but it's up there. It's 6 or 7 billion. The number really isn't important, though. It's a lot. It's way more than a couple hundred ponies. Do you think God knows all of the people on the earth? Do you think he knows their names? Do you think he knows what they do all day long? Do you think he cares about them, watches over them? All right, I think he does, too. And maybe if you ask your parents really hard, maybe you can go visit the mystical land of ponies and visit Butchie and Whitetail and Stumpy and all of the ponies. Yes. You were already there. Isn't it amazing? Do you want to go back? Yeah. You hear that? Let's go back. All right, let's bow our heads and pray, okay? All right. Lord, we know that you know everyone. We know that you know all these little children. And we ask that you watch over them and keep them and guard them as they go throughout the upcoming week. Amen. All right. Does anybody... Well, I shouldn't give these away. My wife would get really upset if I gave away her pony postcards. But the candy basket is right back there in the first pew. So if you guys want to take something, go for it. I'll tell you, after that children's sermon, I think we've heard the best already, so I don't know if I can top that pony-infused children's message, but here we go. And before we get started, there are people in the congregation that take a peek at the bulletin before everyone else sees it, and they have all come up to me and asked me about the title of the sermon. The title of the sermon is Big Yellow Taxi Reddix. And they go, what's the word Reddix mean? And it's Latin, and it means do-over or redo or again. So that is what the word means. So that's, now that that's out of the way, let's go at it. Story begins with a turtle. All right. It begins with this turtle I saw the other month. We're packing food pantry boxes. I was on the way to the church here to pack the food pantry boxes, and I was coming out Hawk Mountain, and I saw a turtle crossing the road over by Eckville. So what do we know about turtles? They aren't very fast, and they get hit by cars all the time. And I love turtles, and my sister-in-law especially loves turtles, so I thought I better help the turtle along. So I pulled over, parked the truck, jumped out of the truck, ran back, and well, this turtle saw me coming, and he did a very unturtle-like thing, and he ran off the road into the grass because he didn't want any help from me. So the problem was solved, and I went and got back in the truck, which I had parked in the driveway of this old church and schoolhouse over there in Eckville. Does anyone know the church and the schoolhouse that I'm talking about? It's called Bullock's Church. It's really old. Well, the schoolhouse was converted into a home at some point, and I don't know when that happened, but someone had lived there for quite a while, and last year it was for sale by owner. And there was no addition ever put on this schoolhouse, so it's just a little tiny one-room red brick schoolhouse. And last year it came up for sale by owner, and we drove by this thing every Sunday on the way to church, and we saw the open house was there, and we decided, nah, maybe we should go and take a look, just, you know, scope it out. You know how people are when real estate's for sale. You want to go in and see what it's like in there. But we never did, and it sat on the market for a while. And finally this spring, somebody bought it. And they converted it into a guest house. It's now a vacation summer cottage rental that people can rent. So the schoolhouse, nothing has been done to that. It has just been standing there. It's turned gray now. It's propped up by boards, I guess, to keep it standing, waiting for somebody to work on it. Well, anyway, I got back in the truck, and I came over, and we packed the food pantry boxes. And I came home, and a couple weeks later, I'm going out Hawk Mountain Road again, and I see they're working on the driveway. They have some equipment pulled in there, and they were grading off the little driveway that goes up to this schoolhouse. And I thought, finally, someone has started to work and spruce this thing up. Next step, they're going to fix up the church. Well, a week or so later, I go by and some boards are coming off the front porch of the church, and I thought, we're doing it. A couple days later, yeah, they were working on it. It was flattened to the ground. And they were working on the driveway and the parking lot. The parking lot was right where the church was standing. And that's where the title of this sermon comes in. I was having a total Joni Mitchell moment. Does anybody remember Joni Mitchell? It was before my time. What is the first line of the song Big Yellow Taxi? Anybody? Come on. Thank you, Mike. Say it louder for me. Very, very close. The first line is, if you hate paradise, put up a parking lot. But thank you, Mike. He's an aging hippie in disguise. This song pops into my head frequently when you see things, you know, being paved over. I guess it's just a common reaction. I don't know if it happens to anybody else. Apparently not. But I'm not suggesting that the new owners of this place hate paradise, and they bought it. They can do whatever they want to with it, you know. My dad always said, I pay the taxes on it so I can do whatever I want to with it. So this is true. But the whole thing bothered me, seeing this church knocked down, and it kind of nagged at me every time I drove by. And sort of worked through it, and I've come to accept it, and I kind of want to roll through how I got to this place with you, if you wouldn't mind. And the first thought I had was, I was upset because the church was old, and I like old stuff, and you know, I like old houses, and I like that old church standing there, old junk, old stories, you name it. If it's old, I'll probably try to collect it somewhere or the other. And that's why I avoid estate auctions, because I will, like a bear to honey with that old stuff. And I will buy it up. But I don't think I was upset just because it was old. I thought, well, maybe they could have fixed it up and they could have given it to a congregation that was just starting. You know, maybe a small church that was getting started, wasn't big enough or didn't have enough money to buy a place of their own yet. Or maybe they could have used it, let it out to the community. They could have hosted Bible studies or revivals there or prayer meetings, you know, anything along those lines. But the more I thought about it, the less practical this idea seemed, because there was no space for a septic system, probably didn't have any heat or electricity in it, might not even have any pews anymore, I don't know. And obviously there was no space for a parking lot, because it was the parking lot. So that idea was no good. Then I started to think about the people who had gone there. Who were they? Who were these people? What happened to them? Where did they go? Did they or their descendants even still go to church? Maybe something bad happened. Maybe something nefarious happened. Maybe a charlatan pastor took over the church and made off with all the money, or, you know, led them off, made them join another church. I mean, it could happen. We just heard in Jeremiah 23, you know, the Lord warns us about these things, and he warns people that would do such things. He says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my flock, it is you who scattered my flock and have driven them away. You have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Maybe their leadership was so bad they just shrugged their shoulders one day and said, why bother going anymore? Let's not show up. Then I thought maybe it wasn't the pastor's fault. Maybe he or she was a good pastor. Maybe it was the sheep that were disobedient to the shepherd. Maybe they didn't take the advice that's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, where it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Maybe they didn't take these to heart. Maybe they just got a little lazy, didn't care anymore, drifted away, and eventually someone had to make the call to shut the whole thing down. The thought that disturbed me the most was that if the people who remained in the church when it closed never found somewhere else to go, never found another place to go and worship, what if they were too nervous to mix in with a new congregation? I mean, it's hard to go into a new church where you don't know people and to fit in. What if they said it was too far to go since the church right down the road closed down? What if they said, I'm used to going here, I've gone here all my life, and if I can't go there, I'm not going at all? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine just wandering around the world aimlessly as a Christian with no congregation? There's some people that will tell you, that's okay, I don't need to go to church, I'll do it on my own. Our reading from Mark this morning tells us that Jesus had compassion for those people who gathered to see him because they were like a sheep without a shepherd, wandering around, searching. Now, through some fault of my own, I went on vacation and traveled on two Sundays in a row, and then I overslept last week, but I did manage to make it here for the food. I have missed three Sundays of worship in a row. And I'm not going to lie to you, if you miss church, it affects you. It affects your routine, the whole rhythm of your week. And you have to work extra hard to keep your spiritual health up. Never going to church again, I think that would mean the spiritual death for all but the strongest of the saints out there. Now, as much as I've tried to find out what happened to this church and this congregation, and if anybody here knows what happened, please fill me in, because I could not find much. So I really have no idea what has happened to these people. But having said that, I do have hope for the congregants that remained, because it's the second part of our Old Testament reading in Jeremiah that goes, then I myself, this is the Lord speaking, then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And in this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. The promise that the Lord will gather his lost sheep, and the lost sheep I'm talking about is not only this congregation we're discussing today, but all the lost sheep throughout the world. He will gather his lost sheep, bring them back home, and give them the good shepherd, that good shepherd who has been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. And since we and they have our Savior and the Holy Spirit that he sent us to keep us company while we're wandering around, I think that the congregants of that little church are probably doing just fine wherever they are. Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord, we ask that you guide us, that you act as a shepherd to us, your sheep. Amen. Please rise, please stand as I read the benediction for this morning, which comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you.